Good morning and welcome to the very first live service here at New Life Christian Fellowship. We're so excited to be able to do this. In these times when things seem so confused, we are so thrilled that we can come into your homes, in a sense, through your devices, and we can worship God together. I'm so grateful to particularly to our staff and particularly on Euland and possible over the past. We were ready to begin this, and we're just so we're going to worship God together. Take another device, or phone or something, and sing as loud as you want in your home, because nobody. I don't know how many weeks we're going to be doing this, but remember that there are people. Think for yourself, is there, and maybe you can call them and invite them to come and watch with you. Obviously, you take all of the precautions and the do, but to invite people to be together, even in small groups, so that nobody is alone. It's so easy in these. With all that's happening, it's so easy for us to end up isolating. And let's be God's hands and feet to stop people being isolated. And maybe we'll discover that we can do that we never discovered before, and that God is leading us into. And that's so exciting. So tell us of your experiences. Tell us what it was like. Email us, text us, do whatever you can to make sure we know what it was like. And now, one of the things that I wanted everybody to know is that a few people have said, look, all of the different difficulties that are going to be experienced by people over the next few months or few weeks, how can we help? Well, I've had a conversation with the Pacifica Resource Center, and they are really well equipped to find out the places where needs are. One of their very specific needs is the fact that they will need people to transport food parcels, food to places where people are scared to go out. So we're going to try and help them with that. So if you're able to give some time to transporting food packages to people who really need them, let us know, let the office know, and we will connect you with PRC to make sure that we're able to do that. Now, there are a few things that I would normally point out to you in the bulletin. My office, there's not more than 50 people coming, so we can do that. There will be a baptism class on March the 22nd, because we hope to be able to do some baptisms on Easter Sunday. Matthew 25, if you haven't heard already, we are actually suspending that for the present, certainly this month. We will let you know when we're going to restart it, because clearly that's not a wise thing to do in the current circumstances. On April the 4th, put this date in your calendars, because it's still happening. We're going to have a spiritual warfare seminar. I am so excited that Dr. Gary Brashears from Western Seminary is coming here. He's spoken on this subject internationally. It's a great opportunity for us to learn. So if you want to tell anybody who you think would be interested, we will. I texted him this week and said, "Are you going to come?" And he said, "Absolutely, I'm coming." So we'll let you know if that changes. But right now, Dr. Brashears is coming, and we're really looking forward to him. At Saturday, April the 4th, he's going to speak, going to do a seminar all day, and then he's going to preach on Sunday. And then, of course, we have the Kidder Creek registration, the details of which you can find online. All of these things you can find online. This is so let's see if we can't make this. You know, God says, the Bible says, all things work together for good. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So let's just find and grow all of the things that God is going to work for good in these difficult circumstances. So as we come to worship together, let's pray together. And the words that I'm going to use some of the words I'm using in this prayer come from the song Tremble, which is our first song. Lord, we thank you that nothing comes as a surprise to you. Nothing disturbs you. And you are ready to enact your plan, whatever happens down here. And we look forward to seeing how that is going to happen. Lord, we pray for all those who right now are feeling lonely, scared, confused. And we ask that you will enable us as a community to breathe your peace into their lives, that you will do that. You'll show us how, and you'll show us when. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to worship in this way. We ask that you will reach out into every home that has this service turned on and bless them beyond their imagination. Father, you said peace. Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding us, let it break in your name. Still. Call the sea to still. The rage in me to still. Every wave in your name. Jesus, Jesus, make the darkness tremble. Fear. Lord, as we worship you, will you do just that, far and wide? In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I just wanted to share that usually at this time is when we ask you to stand and worship with us. And the cool thing about you guys being at home is you can do whatever you like. You can kneel, you can stand, you can dance. So we're excited to be worshiping with you across the airwaves. This morning.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me. Let it break at your name. Still, call the sea to still. The rage in me to still. Every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus. Silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones, all these lungs to sing once again. Again, I will praise, oh Jesus. darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
This week, as I was trying to figure out what songs we needed to do this week, just listening to my heart about what's going on around us, and we had a lot of there was moments and waves of anxiety, and I'm sure a lot of you felt those kind of waves of fear, and I'm sure that many of you remembered to be able to just pray and ask for peace, and knowing that you have been given peace so many times in the past when you have needed it. And so I'm looking at Philippians 4:6, and it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I just say amen to that, amen. Because I just feel that I'm with you all right now as we're feeling these uncertain times. And my husband, we were away last week, and my husband shared that it's just so important to know that peace transcends understanding, and we need that. And I think we all would agree that we need that. So we're just going to continue to worship with you. Our next song is called Defender. We don't have to defend ourselves. We believe we have a defender that goes before us and goes behind us and circling us with his power, with his care. Somebody that knows where we're headed even when we don't. So anyway, I asked you to just join us and listen to these words and look them up if you like and just worship with us.
You've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory.
Defender, so
needed was your grace. Lord, help us to just bow down. Oh, fill us up with your grace.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that all we need to do is to bow down. All we need to do is to worship, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet you call us your children. Come and sit at your feet. You love it when your children offer to you the confusion, the pain, the uncertainty of their lives and the world around them. You love it when your children accept the gift of grace, the gift of joy, the gift of the security of knowing that you're running the world, regardless of what other people think, regardless of how other people think they're, what other people think they're doing. You're running the world, and you never get distracted. And we thank you, Father, that as your children, wherever we are, Lord, we take this time to pray, to speak with you, because we do so because you ask us to do that and to ask in the name of Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, yesterday, I believe it was sometime yesterday that we were called to a national day of prayer today. And some biddings and some suggestions for prayer were given to us. And so, obviously, if you're normally a part of New Life Christian Fellowship and you're share prayer requests, as I said to you earlier, we'd love you to, if you have prayer requests, just type them in and send them to us in a text message, and you can be sure that they will be prayed for. In the future, maybe we'll be able to do that live, but not this week. I can assure you that our very best technological minds will be applying themselves to all the things we can and to maximize the number of things we can do in the context of these live streams. But I can assure you, if you text us some prayer requests, they will get prayed for during the week. And if you don't want to text them in, then if you just leave a message on our answering machine or call the office during the week, we would love to be able to pray those things for you. But for today, we're going to follow the guidelines given to us at this national call to prayer. And they begin with some silent prayer. Silent prayer using some scripture references. I encourage you, if you haven't got your Bible with you at home, then just nip out and find it, because you'll find it useful during the course of our time together. Reminding us that first we praise God, the God of hope, the God in whom is our confidence, the God who we trust. And yet we know that we have often failed you, Heavenly Father, for all have sinned and Father, we thank you for the certainty of that promise. That if we confess, the times that we have allowed other things to slip onto the throne of our lives rather than you. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. These words are taken from Psalm 103. We pray that God, the source of hope, will fill every home in Pacifica. Because we trust in Him. And that as a consequence, Pacifica will overflow. That any of the other places where people are listening to us right now will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that your light will shine into the darkness of fear and panic, bringing hope and peace. We ask that believers will be your servants of love, grace, and mercy. We ask that your healing, your provision, your protection and love will surround all your children, will surround all your people worldwide. We ask that truth will replace lies, trust will replace doubt, long-suffering will replace critical spirits, good will replace evil, self-control will replace instant gratification, and truth and peace will replace fear. Ask that you will give provision for every need. We ask that you will grant healing for those who are sick and help for their families. We ask that you would watch over and care for our students, faculties, and schools impacted by campus closures. We ask that you will grant wisdom, protection, and strength for all the professionals who are providing medical care, and for those who are working on treatments and a vaccine for COVID-19. We ask that you will bless our president, vice president, all the public officials and leaders, local and national, that you will give them divine wisdom and courage as they make decisions that impact all of our lives. We thank you, Father, that your word tells us that those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And we declare about the Lord that he alone is our refuge. He alone is our place of safety. He alone is our God, and we trust in him. And that hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary where Jesus has gone before. Father, we trust you in all these places. We trust you on the occasions that we feel overwhelmed, confused, and uncertain. We ask that you will help us remember once again that it is you who runs the world, not us. We ask all this in the precious, reliable, faithful, and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, during our normal service, during the next worship song, we would take our offering, which we obviously can't do. But there are, of course, at least two ways you can give online. And that information you can get on our website, or there's a text to give number which we will supply for you, so that you will continue to fulfill the call that we have as people, as a people of God, to be generous in order that the work of God might continue. Be on your mind as we song together.
Kneel, whatever way that you're able to worship with that.
You are matchless in grace and mercy. Thank you. And when I was afraid, you were with me. And you lifted me up. You lifted me up.
Let's proclaim that.
Where there was death, you brought life.
Father, we thank you for the truth of that, that nothing can come between us and you. And as we come together around your word, Lord, it's such a joy to know that nothing can get in the way. And so we ask you'll give us grace as we seek to listen to your words, to listen to what you would say. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it is different to be preaching to a group of people who I'm confident are out there, but I can't see you and you can't see me. But I'm extraordinarily glad that you are there. And it's remarkable to me that, well, it shouldn't be remarkable, because you so often you see how God unfolds his plans in ways that you simply do not expect. That we have been going through a series here. If you've been part of it, then you know that we've been going through a book called Saturate, where we look at how we can fulfill Habakkuk Chapter 2 and verse 14, which says this, that the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And if you look at, I've just got to get something I left behind. My apologies. You've got to think of the translation that we've been looking at to try and understand what that looks like. It goes like this. It says, every man, woman, and child in every place. And for most of us, that's Pacifica. But who knows where you are right now. And so if Pacifica is not where you are right now, then fill in the blank with where you are. Everyone, every man, woman, and child in every place will have a daily, now mark my words, daily, this isn't sort of just an occasional if you happen to be in the right place at the right time, this is daily encounter with Jesus through words spoken and deeds done. through his people. And if you're a follower of Jesus, his people means you. That if the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, to do that, people have to encounter Jesus through those people who have encountered them themselves. And so we've been reaching to see how the church is not what we experience every day, every week on Sunday. It's not simply meeting in these four walls, but as God has dramatically shown us today, the church is out there. The church is in your homes. The church is in your workplaces. The church, what happens here, only enables the function of the church outside these four walls. And if it doesn't facilitate what goes on outside these four walls, then I would go as far as to say we have failed. Because if we are going to drip Jesus, if you'll excuse the expression, on everywhere, on everyone, everywhere we go, then we need to get out there, be filled up, and get out there. And you are out there right now in your homes. You have neighbors. You have workplaces. And all of those are part of what Habakkuk says should be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. What Jesus has called us to do. And so the big question is, okay, how? How do we allow Jesus to infuse every part of our lives? Because we're so used, most of us, to the fact that, okay, Sundays is our God day. We do our thing with God, and then maybe we do a couple of other things during the week. If we're really Christian, you know, those are the fanatics who do things more than just Sunday. But you know, that's when we've ticked our God boxes if we've done those things. But this doesn't say that. It says that Jesus, he says, walking with Jesus, the glory of God should fill every part of everything we do. How do we do that? Well, we've begun to look at that in all sorts of different ways. We've recognized that first and foremost, he has to infuse our lives. We have to be engaged with him, not just, okay, ticking his box, but we have to spend time with him. We have to spend time. I remember very clearly in my own life, one day when I first came to America, and somebody preached a sermon that said, do you want to be somebody who sort of like a pebble in the of God's work, and you get... Do you want to be a pipe, a conduit? And then Unfortunately, I used to have, and I, by God's grace, I haven't had them for a long while. I have what the doctor describes as stomach migraines. And I used to, well, how it used to work was I could get at 5 o'clock in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the evening, I would start getting a cramping stomach pain. And it would last until about 5 o'clock the next morning. I could almost set my time by it. So one day, I got one of these stomach pains, and yeah, I got up from my bed and left my wife in bed and was lying on the couch. And I'm not one of these people who hears audible voices of God. But God normally speaks to me by sort of a powerful impression that I think I can't ignore. And there was this powerful impression on my on me that said, were you serious when you said you wanted to be a conduit? I guess so. Yeah. Well, when are you going to spend some time with me? But I do spend time with you. You know, I read my Bible. I prepare for teaching sermons. I do all of those things. Did you hear what I said, Jonathan? I said, when are you going to spend some time with me? When are you going to actually sit down and be quiet and listen to me? How many of your relationships, Jonathan, would you think were of a high quality if you never really sat down and listened to them talk and understood? Guess I haven't really thought this through. And so it was at that time that God impressed upon me, and I'm not trying to say that this is what he would impress upon you, but he impressed upon me to get up a half an hour earlier every morning to spend time with him. Now, I'm not saying God will tell you to do that, but I will tell you he will want you to do something. Something which enables you to have peace, quiet, and listening time. Time when you like me to shut up and listen. I guarantee you that if you are to be somebody who fills the earth with the glory of God, it starts there. And we've begun to see that. We've begun to see how our personal lives begin all this. Now, also, one of the most striking things about the patterns that we've watched are they are done in groups. But interestingly enough, they are done in groups that are not in this building where I am right now, but in those buildings where you are right now. Those buildings where you gather in smaller groups. Groups where you can get to know each other. Groups that are often extraordinarily different from one another. Hopefully groups where there are different ages, different theological perspectives, different lengths of their Christian lives, different experiences. Because that's where we grow together. And so many of the if you haven't looked at the book Saturate yet, I continue to urge you to do so. Much of those experiences are from people in groups who may come together in a building like the one I'm in right now on a Sunday, but during the week they function in those groups. And I don't mean they meet once a week. I mean, it becomes part of the way that they become part of each other's lives. They know when each other hurt. They know when each other have needs. They know when each other have concerns. And they get involved. And because they do that, then people around them, maybe, strangely enough, the people who live in the houses around them, begin to experience they do life differently. Maybe we should. Or maybe we could. And so that we can invite them in to experience not a sermon or a worship service, but life done with Jesus. And that's what changes the world. That's where the life gets filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. And we've begun to see that. And we've seen how each week we've seen how our stories are so important. Stories like the one I've just told you about my experience when God challenged me with, okay, you made a decision, Jonathan. When are you going to put it into practice? And we've heard from a number of members of our church family. If you go back to our, you can listen to the message. If you don't want to say, that's fine. But find the place, probably fairly close to the beginning, where somebody gets up and tells you their story of how Jesus changed their lives. How Jesus impacted them, how Jesus stopped them, started them, and transformed the way they not just get the fact that they and didn't just say so that you can come to church on Sunday, but so that your life throughout your life would be different. Each one of those people have told stories of how their lives were changed by interaction with Jesus. Our stories are so important. Maybe in your home today, when we finished our time together, somebody can tell somebody else their story of how Jesus has changed their lives. I'm not saying not for 2.5 hours, but 10 minutes, 5 minutes. 5 minutes just to share with people how God changed you and when he changed you and how grateful you are for that. Because nobody can take away from you your story. Because it happened to you. And you were changed. So, this week, we're going to continue the process we're going through. And we're going to address a really difficult challenge that comes to us over and over again. Things in our churches, you almost sit back and you think, okay, here we come. What's the new program that I have got to find somewhere in my calendar, somewhere in my overwhelming schedule? Are they going to ask me to stick something else in my program? And then the result is actually many people do everything they can to do all that we pastors ask them to do, but they do it because they don't want to disappoint us. And over again, we try and get that and try and fit it in. I've got news for you. I am not going to share with you a new program today. But what I am going to share with you might be, just might be, even more challenging. Because I'm not going to ask you to find any space in your calendar. But I am going to ask that we look at our calendars and see what's already there. And begin to ask ourselves, how can we infuse, I love that word, infuse. Jeff Van der Stelt uses it in saturate because it's sort of like a saturate type word. How can we infuse Jesus? How can we infuse gospel intentionality into the things that are already in our calendars? No new space, just re-intentionality into what we already do. Our rhythms. You remember when we emotionally healthy spirituality, if you were part of that, we finished up by suggesting that we needed to have thing. We did different things. We needed to find a rhythm that included so many important elements. If you're one of those people who's read the book, The Common Rule, that he goes still further than that, and he actually gives some suggestions, like of something that we, some three, four things that we might do every week and four things that we might do every day. Because it's when we build those habits, those rhythms, those routines. Maggie laughs at me because I do certain things, by, not necessarily the best things, but I do certain things by absolute routine. When I packed my, gym bag in the evening for the next morning, I put the all of the things that go in there, I put them in the same order. And then when I unload them at the gym, I unload them in the same order. So my locker always looks the same. And it's not really because I'm OCD. It helps me not to forget things. So when we have rhythms to our lives, it helps us to forget things. Now, the book selects six different things that are parts of our daily life. Part, not all of them parts of everyday life, but they're part regular parts of our lives, and suggests that we take them and we live. I described earlier, we begin to say, how can we infuse gospel intentionality into all of those things? The six of them are eat, we all eat, listen, story, bless, celebrate, and recreate or recreate. We're going to look at and three of them next. Is that you do this anyway? How can you infuse gospel intentionality into the way you do this? How can you become, we've recognized that we are baptized into the Father as members of the family. We are baptized into the Son as servants. And we're baptized, and we saw last week that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit as missionaries. How in each of these contexts can we be family, can we be servants, and can we be missionaries? How can we be in? First of all, we're going to look at the subject of eating. If you feed them, they will come. Or so the movie tells us. If you look through the pages of Scripture, you'll discover that there are time and time again that Jesus eats meals or people eat meals. And of course, in their context, it took the whole day to prepare the meal because you had to go out and find the food, reap it, whatever, and then cook it, and then you've got time to eat it together. It was the focus of their lives was meals. We've changed that so dramatically because we spend as little time as possible eating meals because we've invented fast food and extra fast food, and you know, very soon all we'll have to do is take a tablet. And we'll have lost one of the most important elements of human interaction. But I want us to resist that and look at how we can look at the meals that we have in terms of gospel intentionality. Again, within the lives that we have described to us in the book have so many communities. They decide each of those little communities that I described to you, each of those groups, they have a meal together every week. It's their community meal. And they invite people, their neighbors, people who are or people who don't walk with Jesus, people who have no idea what church is about. They experience life around their table together. That's just one way of doing it. But I want us to look at two meals that we see in Scripture. And the first comes when Jesus is calling his disciples. And in Mark chapter 2 and verse 14, he's walking along and he sees a guy called Levi. Now that's, most of us know him as Matthew. He was one of the most disreputable of Jesus' disciples. And the reason why, because he was a tax collector. And low in their community. Because, you know, they were collaborating with the Romans. They said, you've got to collect this amount of money. And they said, okay, well, I'm going to collect this amount of money and I'm going to collect more so I can keep the more. And so they were despised. And Jesus is walking along. He sees a booth, you know, sort of like a little kiosk. And there's Matthew sitting there waiting, Levi waiting there to collect the tax. And he says, hey, you, follow me. And he does. As he walked along, he saw Levi. This is Matthew, Mark 2, verse 14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, that's Matthew, son of Alphaeus, sitting in his tax collector's booth. He said, "Follow me and be my disciple." So Levi got up and followed him. It's another of those remarkable occasions when you really want to know, okay, so how much did he know beforehand? But we're not told. All we know is that Levi decided, okay, if you want me to follow you, I'm going to follow you. But then it's what he does next, which is really interesting. Mark 2:15. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with other church officials. No. Along with many tax collectors and other riffraff. Well, actually, it says other disreputable sinners, but the effect is the same. Immediately, Jesus, he encounters Jesus. Jesus says, "Follow me." He says, "Yes." He says, "So I can learn more about you and I can share about you with the disreputable friends I have." And it would appear that this was a regular occurrence in the life of Jesus. There were many people of this kind amongst Jesus' followers. So isn't that encouraging? That Jesus had loads of disreputable people amongst his followers. And they invited them to dinner. And immediately around the dinner table, they began to learn from Jesus. They began to share. There were some disciples there and they said, "Hey, this is what being a disciple's like. We've been walking with him for 2 weeks now and this is what's happened. We've been walking, all of those experiences begin to be shared and people begin to understand what it really means to be with Jesus rather than what four other people have told you who don't really know what they're talking about." You see, if we want to share Jesus, gathering people around our table and knowing that they're welcome, not gathering around their table and putting a tract at each spot, at each space. I once was lost, and I've said this to you many times. I will continue to say it. The first thing people need to do is to learn to trust a Christian. Because the world tells them that they can't trust us for all sorts of reasons. But come sit around a table with somebody and you begin to understand their lives. And that's what Levi did. That's what Matthew did when he invited them to be with Jesus. The other encounter that he had was the other eating encounter that I wanted to talk about for a minute is another tax collector, and his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree because the Savior wanted to. Now, Jesus was coming that way. And when the Savior came that way, he looked up into the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, now you come down to us. I'm coming to your house for tea." I know that's the English. I can't remember what the American version is, but you get the opportunity. You get the drift. Jesus said, "I want to come to your house for a meal." And so you might think, well, I better call the wife because she's not expecting anybody. No, he says, when Zacchaeus came by, he goes, "Come down quickly. Because he recognized that this man had something that he needed to understand. Read the rest of the story in Luke chapter 19 and you discover how Jesus transformed his life. Two times when people who had no relationship with Jesus had transformed, other people's lives transformed, gathered around a table to eat together. How can we infuse? To share our lives in a way that we share Jesus. If 21 you know, you say, well, I don't eat 21 times. Well, if you just count all the times you have coffee with people and things like that as well, the numbers go up. And you don't have to be too literal about this. How can we infuse those things with gospel intentionality, with when we know that we are spending time with that person, eating with that person, because we want to get to know them, we want to experience their lives so that we can share what's changed ours? That's eating. Just think about how many meals are eaten alone. Why? The family meal where we just invite people who normally eat by themselves every other week. Strangely, when I look at this, it seems that seems to be, how could we do it more? But perhaps I shouldn't be saying that. Is it, how can other people do it? How can we do it as a church community more? How can that happen all over Pacifica? That people who are lonely get a chance to eat with people, with other people, in order that they might be blessed. Okay, next, celebration. Celebration, of course, doesn't happen so often, but it happens in all sorts of celebrations. There's all sorts of them. Birthdays, anniversaries, 4th of July, Christmas tree lighting ceremonies. There is a whole range of celebrations that is part of our lives. And I love the way that pour the water into your jars to serve. And when it was poured out of the washing jars into the serving jars, it became wine. And it wasn't just any old wine. The host always served. This is John chapter 2 and verse 10. The host always served. Brought the best to the celebration. He brought the best. And so Jesus said, yes, look what I can do. I can bring the best wine to the celebration. No, he doesn't. He doesn't say anything. Most people don't even know who did it. But he brought the best. How can we participate celebrations and bring the best, because we are followers of Jesus? All in quiet, no fuss, just bring the best. Second is another occasion, another celebration we've talked about before, when Jesus was, when they were going to celebrate the Passover, just before Jesus was crucified. They barrel in to celebrate the Passover. They're looking forward to have this. This is cool. Celebrating the Passover for Jews was just an amazing. It's fun. It's the time that God really remember what God had done for them. And so they're barreling in for their celebration, gathering around the table, looking at the meal and whatever. And everybody forgets what? That feet need washing. And so Jesus John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. He got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured the water into the basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around them. As Jesus brought the towel. Jesus brought the job that nobody else wanted to do, or everybody else had forgotten to do. Jesus brought a willingness to serve in a way that brought something that the lowest of the low would be expected to do. And Jesus does it. So when we go to attend celebrations, we can bring the better, or we can bring the towel. Again, there's no fuss about what Jesus does. He just gets on with it and does it. There's a in the book about the times when one of their groups went to a celebration in a local park. They didn't know what the celebration was. They just showed up. And it turned out to be the local gay pride parade. And so instead of turning around and saying, well, I don't think we should be here, they went to the organizers and said, is there anything we can do to help? And they said, well, actually, yes, we haven't got anybody to run the kids' bounce house. So that community group ran the bounce house for them for the rest of the afternoon. They brought the towel. No fuss, but they brought the towel. How can we bring the towel? How can we bring the better? How can we create celebrations where there are no celebrations? I told the story before about the community discovered that the children were not having birthday parties. So they started running birthday parties for children. Another group of people discovered that the pregnant women were not having baby showers. So they made the habit of running baby showers for everybody in their community who became pregnant. I don't know what applies to our communities, but something does. And we can bring this towel, or we can bring the better. Lastly, there are the recreations. You know, recreation is one of those things, and we talk about Sabbath, and we talk about those sorts of things. And there are about as many definitions about as to what we can do and what we can't do as there are people. So if you came here expecting me to say, well, here's a list of the things you could do and the things you can't do, you're out of luck. I'm not going to do that at all. You can't do that. Because recreation, that bring us closer and bring us joy and do it together. The time we have, Jesus, time and time again, he went apart, spent time with his Father, and he came back refreshed. To give you a couple of ideas. I've said many times that Seng and I play golf together. Not in this weather, but we play together on Mondays. But we've actually noticed that we've been inviting another person who actually lives in Casa Pacifica. He comes and plays with us every Monday, or Mondays, whenever he's able. And very often we have somebody else who joins us to make up a foursome. And it's a wonderful opportunity just to be able to share life with somebody. And if you listen carefully, I always get opportunities to say something about who you are and what makes you tick. And that those activities get infused with gospel intention. There's a story, again, I'm not sure where he tells this story, but he tells of a bunch of musicians who decided that they were they weren't all Christians, but they would get together every so often to. And they did. They regularly got together. They played together. They call it jamming, I think. You can tell I'm not a musician. They played together. They wrote songs together. They did all sorts of things. And then what? words. And lives began. Perhaps they find we're weirder, but because of the things that we do. but that's what walking with Jesus is about. There's many, many more great stories in this book, in Saturate. There's many, many great stories in the scriptures, which teach us that if we allow the activities that we actually do to become infused with gospel intentionality, maybe we'll experience what it's like in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30, when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I'll give you the opportunity to be who you're called to be in the context of your normal lives, so you don't have to take special time out. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle. And you will find rest for your souls." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have very busy lives. But we want to ask you to help us to know how to infuse those busy lives with gospel intention. To show us where we can eat with others, celebrate with others, is part of every single nook and cranny of our lives. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.